The second reading is taken from Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The reading can be found on page 1026 in the Church Bibles, or page 1811 in the large print version. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're going to spend a few moments thinking about reading Lloyd's just read to us, but let me just pray for us first. Lord, help us to think through Christmas, what you were doing for us. It's so familiar in some ways, but we want to ask that you make your truth alive to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you want to have your Bibles open, it might help. Luke chapter 1, page 1026 in the Church Bibles. Are you aware that Dr. Luke wrote two books in the New Testament, the book of Acts and this Gospel? And Luke was a very, very careful investigator, as you'd expect from somebody who was a medical doctor. He looked into things really clearly. He says this at the start of the Gospel, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the start, it seemed good to me also to write an orderly account so you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught." When it comes to Christmas, we're not thinking about fairy stories. We're thinking about God's truth, what God has done in history. And Luke's very interested in establishing the background for everything he writes about. So far, the action has taken place in Jerusalem and in an unnamed town in Judea. And now we move 6 months, and the scene is switched to the town called Nazareth in Galilee. And here we find a young woman called Mary, a relative of Elizabeth, who was pledged to be married to a man called Joseph. On this Christmas Eve, 4 observations for you. First observation, a message is announced. Again, Gabriel is a messenger, and his message is truly amazing. She had, in a very special way, found favour with God, is what we're told. "Don't be afraid, Mary, you found favour with God." Amazing. Favour with God, she's told. And Mary, when she hears that, she is speechless, unable to grasp what the angel meant. And do you notice that Mary is more startled by the angel's words than by his appearance? She's stunned to think that she's found favour with God. And actually, a lovely lesson there for us in humility. Are you ever astounded by what God gives you? We should be. But the heart of the angel's message was even more startling. Like her relative Elizabeth, she was to give birth to a son, and this baby was to be called Jesus, which means he will save from their sins. I heard recently about somebody, true story, who had a neighbour, and the girl was called Annette, and her surname was Curtins. Her parents, very unfairly, called her Annette Curtins, which doesn't really help. But think about this. This baby was called Jesus because he would save people from their sins. A message is announced. Second observation, a miracle is assumed. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? And while Zechariah did not believe the angel, Mary did. She believed him, but was naturally puzzled as to how such a thing could be achieved. And what a staggering answer is given in verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." A biological miracle. It's virginal conception, what we today call, perhaps mistakenly, the virgin birth. It was a virginal conception, and the power by which God did this was the power of the Holy Spirit. And the underlying principles mentioned in verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. A message announced, a miracle assumed. Third observation, the Messiah is anticipated. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about God sending the Messiah, which means anointed one. I wonder, any of you know where the first mention of a promised Messiah is? What book of the Bible? Let me tell you. It comes in Genesis chapter 3. And God says this to the serpent. "Because you've done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And the Old Testament, every different book, is promising the one who's going to be the crusher, to crush evil, to turn around what's wrong in the world. And notice in Genesis 3 verse 15 that the one who would eventually conquer the devil and evil and sin would be the seed of woman. That's very strange, because normally in Hebrew, as in English, we speak of seed being of a man, not the woman. But here's a promise that one would come from a woman who'd be the crusher of evil and sin. And the prophecies are amazing about the identity of this person, who he's going to be. So it continues like this. Verse 32, we learn there, "He'll be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And it continues, verse 35. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This child was to be holy, holy in his character. He did live an absolutely perfect and sinless life. Some people hated it. Others were just drawn to this person who was so different to any other. Do you remember that advert for a water brand? And I think it used to be, I don't know what name it was now, but it used to be so pure you could punch it. And actually some people are horrified by Jesus. He's so pure, he's so attractive in every way. And that is, wants them, makes them angry. But actually we should be attracted to this because he couldn't be holy in character if he was conceived in the normal way. He was to be without human failure because he was to be born without a human father. You see, this was a fresh start, a divine miracle. And in a very true sense of nobody else can this be said, he would, verse 35, be called the Son of God. Fourth, the mystery is accepted. It sounded marvellous to Mary, all this, but it was also very mysterious. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said. There are many things she could not understand, but nothing she was not willing to accept. And the lesson for us, it's not always clear, is it, as to what God is doing in our lives. Have you felt that this last year? Some of you will know that this next year, as we move into the next 12 months. You wonder, what's God doing in my life? Friends, God's ways are sometimes mysterious. And walking in them can sometimes be perplexing and painful. And yet, as Paul puts in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, if we're a believer, we're called to submit to his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Whatever that might mean, in order that God might be glorified and Christ exalted. Even the question whether we live or die is answered by that. There's a lovely psalm, Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. This Christmas story, a message is announced, a miracle is assumed, Messiah is anticipated, the mystery is accepted. And as we look at the events of Christmas, we should, with great reverence and thanksgiving, say, as the psalmist puts it, as for God, his way is perfect. Amen.